Well, Tad Murray, Bo Brady here. God, I remember those days. My goodness. God, when I first came to Louisville, Bill Love, and I'd listen to Bill, I never will forget Bill. I bought a brand new 67 Camaro and was breaking it in one night, and this guy was on the radio going, Brother Love, and I'm going, you know, it brings tears to my eyes right now.
You say breaking into it or breaking it in, what did you say?
Breaking in the car, you know how you do, you know, you go out and run it fast, right? And, gee, brings back memories. Yes, sir.
Well, I went through, at my tenure there, I went through two.
10 years? I thought you were there 8.
Actually, it was only 6.
Okay.
I went through 2 Bradys, Chuck Brady and
Bo
Brady.
You did.
And I think people thought, because you two generally had the same approach, you know, the Bo Brady.
Boogie.
That you two were like brothers or related. Or
well, no. I was working at KSO in Des Moines, Stoner Broadcasting, which owns DJX now. And Robin Walker said, would you like to come to Louisville and do afternoons? I said, yeah, babe, pack the bags. And we came. Gary called me up, Jackson Smith, and he said, they're hiring 2 jocks, one a night person, which turned out to be Shotgun Sam Lee and myself. And he said, I think you've got an air name called Bo Brady. And I went, what? Boom Brady. Yeah. Sounds like a tie, you know. Hey, look, that's a boom. And so they had Harvey Sloan cutting in drop-ins, and hi, welcome Bo Brady to Louisville. It was too late to change it, so anyway, that's the way we did business. Had fun. Yeah, boy.
I got to tell you a story.
Please.
Back when we were Great Trails. Great Trails was, they did not like to, they weren't spendthrifts.
No.
Let's put it that way. And they had a guy that worked for the company. He was like an accountant, I guess. And he had a German accent.
Yeah.
Did you ever meet this guy?
Yeah, he comes in.
Okay, now, I don't know who this guy is from anything. I'm just a jock, and I'm in the production room, and I'm doing some spots. And this guy is coming around with a little batch of these little white tags, and he's putting a little white tag on every piece of equipment we've got.
Mm-hmm.
And he puts it on there, and he writes a number on it, and he writes a number on his little ledger, and he writes down what that piece of equipment is. Okay, so he came in the production room, and I'm sitting in there dubbing some spots. And he comes in, doesn't say hello, just reaches over and puts a tag on the microphone and writes down microphone, puts a tag on the production console, marks down production console. Over in the corner was a batch of this, I don't know, it was some equipment. I don't know what it was.
Glutinous material.
Yeah. It was. It looked like an old Magna Quarter with a case off of it. Just a.
Yeah.
He says, excuse me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Was ist das?
Yeah.
What's what? Was ist das? And he had a little sticker on it. He had a number on it, and he had a blank space. I said, thigh pad stretcher. He says, what? Thigh, T-H-I-G-H-P-A-D, stretcher.
Yeah.
Thigh pad stretcher. Okay. And he writes down thigh pad stretcher. So somewhere at Great Trails Broadcasting, in their files, they own a thigh pad stretcher.
Stretcher. Yeah, you Schweinhund. Oh, that's great. I do remember the guy. He walking around. He was perfect for the job, though.
You know, oh, yeah.
We will write this down. You will do it this way. Wouldn't you would like it?
Mm-hmm. There was also a son of Charles Sawyer, the owner, who was like the heir to the throne of Great Trails Broadcasting.
That should be son of, yes, okay, right.
Well, he came to the radio station, first time ever he'd been there. I'm in the toilet, right?
Did he inventory that?
Yeah.
What is this?
And
this is the glutinous material.
And you remember the toilet was at the other end of the building. Now, I don't know who designed this building, but the toilet was at the other end of the building. And the control room was in the front. Well, anyway, I was in the toilet. And he was standing in the hallway, and I had a record running out here, you know. And I just washed my hands after having performed a duty in the toilet.
That's nice.
And I came out, and he stops me here in the record. I've got 18 seconds left on this record. Hi, I'm whoever he is, heir to the throne of Sawyer Broadcasting and Great Trail. How are you? And I just involuntarily grabbed his hand, right? And it's wet, and he looks up at the toilet and looks at his wet hand. And I was gone about 6 months after that.
That's incredible. Well, I didn't get to listen to much this morning. I slept in a little late. I slept up last night listening to Rusty and Mac. And now, Bernie Thompson. Bernie was the one that, well, he canned me. You know,
he canned me.
And he canned you, too.
He canned me, too.
Where is Bernie now?
Bernie's dead. Yes.
As far as I'm concerned, he's out of you. Well, off a turn.
No, Bernie ended up somewhere in Wichita, Kansas, or someplace like that.
Good place. That's right.
No, really, I don't have any hard feelings, because Bernie offered me my job back a couple of years later, so...
That's great.
So we're buddies. I got to tell you this. I was in Owensboro, Kentucky, where I've been for 14 years, and they needed a general manager down there. And the owner of the station called me in. I was the program director and said, "Bill, we need to talk to you." Now, Bernie fired me, and I went to Owensboro, right? Said, "We've had an application from a guy. We want to know if you'd have any problem working with this fella." And I said, "Who is it?" I said, "It's a Bernard Thompson."
I said,
well... No.
He didn't get the job, though.
No, he didn't get the job.
Okay.
No.
All right.
But I'm kind of glad he didn't. You know, I wouldn't want to give him two chances. Two shots at it.
And you were man enough to go, I have no problem with him whatsoever.
No, I really could. Well, he'd offer me my job back here.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
Yeah, and not only that, but I knew he was serious, because when I came back, the carnival club had burned, you know, and they'd made it into a parking lot.
Right.
And he paid my parking the day I came to talk to him. $1.75.
How nice, though.
So I figured, this man is serious.
You know, in radio, too, it's right. We tend to carry grudges a long time.
No.
We don't realize that this business is the way it is, and you burn a bridge, and you torch that sucker, and it's gone, man.
Well, let's talk to Dickie Braun.
Yeah.
Hey, well, before, Dickie. Hi. Before you do that, I must clear up something with Mr. Love. I was listening to you earlier today, and you said something about the streaker. Yes. Did you or did you not actually sit nude in that WKLO window on Walnut Street?
Dickie, look at this body, huh? Come on. Would I do that?
Yeah, I thought they had a photo shot of it. Did you have your shirt taken off or something one time in the pose?
Yeah, I did. And WHAS-TV came over and did an interview. Actually did an interview, and I had
slow darn news day, wasn't it?
Yes, it must have been. It must have been.
Well, we were at another station that they heard about you and your nakedity over there at KLO, so they did it with one of our guys, Jesse James. James Freeman, who is also from Tennessee. You're in Tennessee now these days. Huh? But anyway, it was sort of interesting because it was sort of like a room like this where there's no window within 12 blocks, you know. That's where he was nude. He was in there. So,
Dickie, when did you?
I am nude. Honest to gosh, I am really unclothed.
Stark. Stark. That's it. You worked, when did you work at KLO?
WKLO, 1968 to 1971. Carl Truman Wigglesworth scooped me out of the gutter. I have a career. During my career, many people have scooped me from gutters and brought me into nice, warm, secure places. And Carl Truman Wigglesworth was one of them. And Bill Hennis then put me back in the gutter in 1971.
Oh,
well. We don't need you here anymore.
Oh,
you're not outrageous. That was when he started up WKLO. Outrageous.
Why
1080.
Why did you get canned? Why did he can you?
Oh, Mr. William Hennis?
Yes.
I guess I didn't have the spark that he was looking for. I didn't have the Bo Brady, Chuck Brady kind of stuff.
Oh, he told me why he let you go.
Oh, he did?
Yes.
Because?
He told me that we were going to be a boogie station, you know, and we're going to have people like Brother Love and Bo Brady working there, and he didn't feel like your voice had the depth.
Oh, that's what it was. I see. Too much Caucasian or some such or something like that.
Caucasian. By the way, you work at WAMZ. You've been there for,
9 years now. 1982.
Years now. We worked together at AMZ, and by God, that's doing good. AMZ's
actually,
phenomenal.
We have a little link here, too. Tad Murray, Bo Brady. I may call upon Carolyn Davidson, who is over here. She is our historian. She remembers things back when I wasn't sober and such, and can elucidate on her. A lot of things I don't remember about my earlier career.
Oh, you too.
But she and I were together at WKLO for some years, and she remembers a lot of things that I don't. But anyway, what I was getting to is, after I left WKLO, someplace along the line, I guess it was at WINN, and Lee Gray had become program director at KLO, and I guess it was still KLO then. And he had also found the Lord, I think,
yes,
at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And he was looking for a morning man, and you were on the list of candidates, and I was. According to Lee, Bill Bailey was also, who was no longer there, was also considered. Gary Burbank. And as it turned out, he chose Bo Brady, moved you from afternoon to mornings.
I was cheap.
You were what, cheap? And
cheap.
You were already in a building, too. Mm,
and I didn't know how to do mornings then. You know, you're supposed to get a lot of traffic and a lot of time and a lot of, hi, how are you? And I was used to boogieing in the afternoon. You know, so I didn't know how to do mornings. You know, get up, here's Iron Man. You know, and that's not morning.
Well, the gratifying thing to me was that you got the job And the first morning, as I recall, the first morning you were to start, we had about 10 inches of snow.
At least.
And I was glad because I don't think I would have made it the first day anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I was bogged down someplace around the Penn Dennis Club wondering how I was going to make it to where I was going.
Are you a member?
Of the Penn Dennis?
Yes.
No, I have tried to set up a card table on the sidewalk. Lunch bit there. That's already been done by certain other elements in the community.
Well, the Penn Dennis of the Filson, I was wondering.
Yes. I have been in the Penn Dennis Club, though.
Yeah, okay.
Not mopping.
Now, what'd you do between the time of KLO and AMZ?
Oh, 71?
Mm.
When I left WKLO, our manager at the time, Ernie Guttridge, you remember Ernie Guttridge? Ernie Guttridge. All right, he was kind enough to explain to me there wasn't anything he could do about me being dismissed by Mr. Hennis. And if you could boogie, he said. No, he didn't really say that. But he steered me to Jim Caldwell, I think his first name was Jim, at WAVE. And Mr. Caldwell was kind enough to give me some part-time work there. And then later on, I got some more sort of part-time, full-time at the old WLRS in 1971.
Right.
And I remember some of that well because I was working, I think I was coming off a Saturday morning shift at WLRS around noontime. Pittsburgh Pirates were in the World Series against somebody, and I was in a horrendous automobile collision, which I caused.
Now, in those days,
at the corner of Brook and Broadway.
You did?
Yes.
Hmm.
I was the one that did that. But...
Are you in a vehicle or by yourself?
No, I managed to get other people involved in things. So anyway, for about, let's say, I was trying to think, I guess in 71, I probably let go from KLO around August and did some part-timing with Wave and then got the LRS routine and stayed there on into early 72 when someone spoke up. I think it was Mel Scarsdale, who used to be engineer at WANN, spoke up in favor of me to Moon Mullins, who was program director.
Well, the Moon's in Kansas City now.
Well, Moon is a consultant with the Pollock Company.
Oh.
And he's doing a syndicated country-type show, and he's also consulting. I think he handles the countryside for Pollock and operates out of Tennessee, Nashville, Brentwood area there.
All right.
And so Moon brought me over to brought me over to WINN in early 72, stayed over there about 10 years. And then once again, it was, Moon got me out of a semi-gutter there. I was still making a little bit of money, so got me into a better situation. And then later on, it was Coyote and Mike Crusham who pulled me up again when I needed assistance and got me into WAMZ
right.
in 1982.
If you're not familiar with radio and you have no inclination of getting into radio, it sounds like a nice business,
yeah,
doesn't
yeah.
it? You know, longevity, security, you know, could be yours. Be on the radio. Right, yeah. Yes, indeed. Right now, I'm negotiating with Greyhound for a job.
That's good. Yeah.
And it's cleaning the walls down here at the bus station.
Yeah, we had some interesting things. I worked with Bailey, Bill Bailey, of course, back then in 68. Someplace in here. Let me reach down here. Excuse me. A little off mic. I'm going right there.
No, that's all right. You do it all the time. I listen to you.
That's right. I have here a photograph for you to study.
Oh, no.
This is a group of individuals from back in there, and you'll notice what they're wearing. Notice what they're wearing there.
Oh, my goodness. Let's see. Bill F. Bailey.
Bill F. Bailey.
Lee F. Gray. Bill Clark?
Bill Clark.
Yep.
Bill Clark. Bill had to leave Louisville rather quickly, didn't he?
I don't know. I heard he had a big... I don't know whether he had to leave quickly, but I understand he went...
Okay, who are the rest of these?
Jack right there, and that's Carl Truman Wigglesworth.
That's right.
Carl
Jowell.
What's this guy's? Is that Shannon?
Yeah, Shannon.
Yeah. Shannon.
Oh, Shannon. Yeah, Bob Shannon.
Bob Shannon.
Yeah, okay. That's Al Risen.
Al. Okay.
That's Al Risen.
Al Risen, when he looked like a choir boy.
Yeah.
You are so nicely dressed. You look like either Beatles or Priest.
Yeah. You notice I'm not in there. And they decided to put him on the 6 o'clock shift, 6 p.m. And you remember we used to have those little names that you'd slide into the holder in the showcase window.
Oh, yeah. Still got mine.
You do?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, they were trying to figure out what he was going to be known as. So he decided he would be called Shannon. And he put in an order for a nameplate that said Shannon. And somebody said, what else you want on? He said, just Shannon, just plain Shannon. So he got back a nameplate that said just plain Shannon.
Oh, great. Now, how old
is that? I don't know who did. Dave Kick was in on that kind of stuff, I think, back then. Dave.
How old is this picture?
That's probably, man, that's probably 1970. When did Bailey leave? When was Nehru big? Jawaharlal Nehru.
This was
about a month or two.
This was done by Wallace Studio at 625 South 3rd, and the phone number, Juniper.
Yeah.
Juniper 4-3744.
Probably mid-60s, huh?
Yeah.
No, that was, it was while I was at the station, 68-71, because Bill Perry, remember Bill Perry, our sales manager, he wore a Nehru outfit. And back then, too, he even went, they must have had some kind of paste-on mustaches and sideburns that some people wore. He came to work wearing that one time, too. But with the heat of battle and the perspiration level rising, a lot of that would sort of slide, you know. That didn't become too popular. But I guess some people were adding things like that to the Nehru outfit. I also bring to you here a list of people who are at Toys for Tots, but I don't know. Oh, 1970, admit one. And you can study this over, because this brings back a lot of names that I didn't think of, but guys used to be at WKLO. I have a memo from E.A. Gudridge to the staff.
Would you like to read the memo?
1971.
Read the memo for
Carl
us.
Carl Truman Wigglesworth, and he spells it with one G. You remember that?
Oh.
That's right. He's a one G man. Is he in town? I understand, Carl.
He is in Ohio somewhere.
Oh, C.T. Wigglesworth?
No, we're San Antonio.
Gudridge.
San Antonio, W-A-I.
Yeah, but I mean, has he come in for this get-together?
I don't think so.
I understand.
We might call him, though.
I understand he comes to town sometimes. But anyway, it says here, Carl Truman Wigglesworth, this is the memo, who has been program director of WKLO since early in 1968, has decided to retire from radio for the present time in order to fulfill an ambition of his own and his wife's. That is...
Sex?
We're going to do it.
That is to travel for an extended period of time. In parentheses, lucky people. Carl has made this, by the way, this departure of Carl Truman Wigglesworth also was the departure of me, because he was my protector, you know. And I didn't know that Wild Willie was around the corner at the time. Carl has made a significant contribution to radio station WKLO, both in his as an air personality and as program director. His professional services and his friendship are valued by all of us, so we wish him success in whatever endeavors he may choose in the future. On and on it goes here. Oh, here, wait a minute, it does tell.
What happens next?
Paragraph 2. A former WKLO radio star returns as our new program director. He is Bill Hennis, who has been a dramatically successful program director for WNHC in New Haven, Connecticut for the past 3.5 years. And on it goes there. And Bill will be assuming his new position. and many of us assumed a position. Monday, May 24th. Yeah. Well, sir, well, sir. Face that around. Make copies of that, if you will.
What
do you have over here?
I tell you what, let's take a break. We want to hear Hennis the way he sounded back then. All right, here's Bill Hennis from WKLO. Now, this is Bob Klein left this a minute ago. And he's a remake. This is Bill Hennis, intro with air check, plus intro with station composite. So this was the Hennis days at KLO. I think.
This is Bill Hennis. Back in 1966 and 67, you knew me by the name of Wild Willie, a wild and crazy nighttime rock and roll hit music player on the Big 1080, WKLO. On that staff, man, that was a great staff. See, there was Bill Bailey, good old Bill Bailey here, getting out of bed and having a cup of coffee. And let's see, we had Carl Truman... Wigglesworth, Jack Sorby, Mitch Michaels, Ken Douglas, the Englishman, some great news people, too, Reed Yaden and Alan Bryan, just among a couple. Man, those are some great days. Beatles, Monkees, Motown, psychedelic hoo-ha, lots of old-time rock and roll. Of course, it was new-time rock and roll then. See, we had, I'm trying to recall some of the great stuff we had on the air at WKLO, like the Derbytown Greats, the WKLO Cash Call, Top 5 Countdown at Night, the Kentuckiana Countdown, all those traffic condition reports with the sirens going, woo, 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 traffic condition yellow, traffic condition red. Wonder what ever happened to that. Record hops, how about those? What a great time I had living in Louisville. The friends I made and people I met were fantastic. From the air staff to you, the people. Then about 1967, thanks to my longtime and close friend, Mitch Michael, whose real name is Terrell Matheny, who hopefully is able to be down there this weekend, I left to go into programming, and I left for New Haven, Connecticut. 4 years later, in 1970, I returned to Louisville, this time to lead WKLO as the program director, and a team of top-notch DJs that included, on that staff, we had Lee Gray, the Gray Thing in the morning, Mark Big Voice Elliott, Chuck Rock and Roll Brady, Brother Love, Mike Richards, Tom Kennedy, J.J. Wright, and too many others to mention. How about the news staff, too? Ty Meredith, what a great newscaster. And Julian Mouton. Since then, I've programmed stations and consulted stations on sales and programming all over the United States. I spent 14 years in the Windy City, north of Louisville, known as Chicago. There I ran WMAQ and WKQX programming for NBC for 4 years, and then ran my own consulting, management, and programming business for 10 years. In January of 1990, I took over the general manager reins in Battle Creek, Michigan, and now manage two top-rated radio stations in Battle Creek, home of Tony the Tiger, WBCK, and B95. And by the way, B95 is much like the old WKLO. It's a hit music radio station. I'm sorry that my prior commitments keep me from being with you this weekend. However, I'm with you there in my heart and soul. In case you forgot what I, Wild Willie, sounded like in 1967, and what that 1971-72 WKLO staff sounded like, I've included some old air checks that I hope you enjoy. WKLO, the Big 1080, kicking butt and taking names. Check it out.